afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 6th, 65th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon in his Speedos, Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey.
Oh, really?
A little bit of sunshine outside. You kind of go a little crazy on us here.
Okay, Brian, it's your show.
Guy from Fortuna makes good. Oh, this afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about homelessness.
Okay.
Okay. Big challenge there. We'll also try to get some updates on a couple of things that have been going on. And I've even got a question that I was thinking about asking you before the show started.
Okay.
But we're too late, so I'll just have to wait till we come back.
All right.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sheriff Mike Downey. He's got his pants on now.
Yeah, thanks.
thank you. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Jan Hiddle. Quote, people, some good, some bad, but in the long run, we come out even. Why'd you choose that one?
I don't know.
That's not even funny.
Sounded good. Sounded good. I wasn't trying to be funny.
Well, good, because you certainly didn't achieve it there, man.
Good. All right. A
little too much time in the studio all by yourself, eh? Oh, boy. So, you said you want to talk about homeless, and I would imagine...
No, you said you wanted to talk
about... Yeah. No, you can't confuse me with you.
All right.
I guess... Historically, you know, when we talk about, well, when MAD was really active, are they still active in the area? I know that's kind of a stupid question, but okay. And the DUI stuff was all over the place, and that was the big push in the 80s. We heard about the historical consumption of alcoholism and the percentage of Humboldt County that traditionally was that way, and because of the seasonal employment, we would see fluctuations and, you know, domestic abuse and all the other things associated with alcohol abuse. Okay. Pretty well defined. With homeless, do we have any of that similar tracking? Any of that similar information? Any idea what the historical averages have been? Are we, you know, do we have twice as many, three times as many as we did 25 years ago? Because we have that with so many other things. Is there that tracking?
Well,
I'm starting to sound like Mills now, aren't I?
Yeah. I think what we're looking at is now since Eureka has become recipient of a lot of the homeless issues in the last few years, I could say there probably is an increase, because before, you know, working in Southern Humboldt as much as I did, we've had a homeless issue down there for a long time. Some of it's in connection with the industry down there also. But we've had homeless or perceived homeless down in Southern Humboldt and other areas of the county for a long time. Now the problem seems to be moved north, you know, to Fortuna and Eureka. And so I would have to say that is there an increase in it? Yeah, could be signs of the times, the economy, that type of thing. And it is something that's being looked at. We had a homeless task force meeting this morning where we brought a lot of disciplines together to try and actually identify the problems. It's something that Chief Mills was really big on, was trying to get together data. So we brought a bunch of people together that have different interests throughout the community and started gathering data to find out what drives it, what brings them here. Why are they here? How can we help them? How can we get them pointed in a different direction? And all those types of things. So we are working on it. But again, we have a higher percentage today than we say had 5 years ago.
When you were in Southern Humboldt, I was going to Humboldt. There was always urban legends about, oh, so-and-so lives in Redwood Stump. mm-hmm. and or you know in the community forest or up behind Humboldt Stand, blah 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 blah. I don't know. I never pursued it, thinking that that was anything of interest for me.
Right.
So I'll leave it there, kind of as that, you know, cross between myth and fact. There must have been some, sure. certainly. But it's the magnitude,
right?
Or the prevalence now. Having people stand on the corners with cardboard signs. When did that start? Five, six, seven years ago. Before that, they weren't there.
No.
So something has changed in that last. Well, it's called the last decade, that has taken peer pressure off, so we don't have public embarrassment, that we have a lot of the regulars. I mean, it's you probably know better than we, but it's almost like people have franchises for the corners that they're on and get aggressive if somebody else yeah. is there. It's different. It almost looks like it's an industry. Would that be a fair parallel to draw?
Well, I think it's a loose parallel, but it could be fair in some regards. You know, I think that what we're seeing, again, is signs of the times and what's going on. And I go back to Mark Twain's old adage about the frog in the pot of water. You know, you turn the heat up gradually, and the frog eventually boils. If it jumps into the hot pot of water, it jumps right out. So I think we've had a progression of time where wasn't so noticeable at first, and then there's a few more people, and I think people just kind of didn't really pay a lot of attention until it got to a tipping point. Let's use that phrase. It seems to be so popular these days. It got to a tipping point, and we're at that point right now where the community is saying, you know, wait a minute, we've got enough. We don't need any more, but now we have to start the process of trying to do an about face on that, and it can be very hard to do that once it's become so prevalent.
And bureaucracies are then established around that, too.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, it's kind of like a callus, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. That works for me. There's an event, there's a situation, there's a reaction to it, and then there's those that start building up around and building up around and building up around. I know this sounds goofy, but are there efforts that are in place to serve those through bureaucratic efforts that if it was gone, they would still stay here? Or do you think that they would dissipate too? If the caseload down, would they contract also?
I think we would see some reduction. You know, that goes without saying. I mean, there's got to be a reason for people to stay here, and there's got to be some outlet for them. I think there would be somewhat of a reduction in that.
How would that impact you guys?
Well, you know, that's the thing I was going to mention earlier is that you got to understand that with this resurgence or this growth in that part of the segment of the community, county and city services have dwindled. You know, the private sector, the private sector is rebounding, but the public sector is not. You know, money is tight. You know, I use this analogy all the time. You know, my budget has stayed pretty stable the last 3 or 4 years, but my operating costs have gone through the roof.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, some of the different challenges certainly around homeless has been identifying the subcultures. I think everybody's pretty much in agreement that there are significant large subpopulations.
Sure.
Okay, fine. So no broad brush, got that one. can't deal with each of them in the same way.
Right.
Got that one. There's some that don't want to be dealt with.
Right.
Okay, fine. So as you identify those three, they look the same from the outside.
Somewhat.
Yeah, other than the guys talking to themselves as they walk
right,
around. Okay,
right.
Got yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, as long as they don't have a badge on, we're okay. I get that part. So as you look at the efforts to, I guess, push back against the tidal wave a little bit, what are some of the things that you would suggest that the community, the regular guy and gal, do? What can we do to help, or at least not to exacerbate a situation?
Right. You know, you talk about the different groups. We also have a large, I shouldn't say large, we do have a group of returning vets out there that don't want to have, they don't want to have contact with the regular society. They're still dealing with things that they saw or dealt with, and they're
demons.
Yeah, and they're a part of the homeless groups that we have around here. So I think, you know, I there are people that that don't like some of the outreach that's going on currently to help people out. You know, the county has a TAP program to try and relocate people back to their homes. I know, you know, Betty Chin has started an effort, and she has been somewhat successful in relocating people, trying to get them back to wherever they belong, wherever they want to go, and trying to make them a little more accountable. I know there's people that are not too appreciative of what she is doing. I mean, she has helped the problem, and maybe in some way she has not helped the problem. But there are plenty of other groups out there that are starting to take the same approach to try and mitigate some of the issues we could have, especially with children that are in these homeless groups, and trying to at least give them some hope beyond the lifestyle that they're in now. So I think the biggest thing is, one of the things that I would suggest, you know, if there's a way that people can be encouraged to return home, to return where they've come from. I still am somewhat amazed by when our weather is bad. This year obviously has been different. But during the winter, when our weather is so bad as it gets, with the snow, the rain, the wind, the foggy, cloudy days, that people stay here, that they don't go to climates that are much more adaptable and easier to live in. But there seems to be a draw here. I'm not sure exactly what that draw is.
I think it's called acceptance.
Well, it could be acceptance, but you're seeing a going away from that acceptance. We're seeing, you know, large groups of folks, especially in the Eureka area, that are saying, you know, we've had enough. You know, our neighborhoods aren't safe. Can you attribute that all to the homeless? No. We have a whole different thing now with jail realignment and that type of thing that has brought people back into our communities. The drug culture, we talked about that earlier, attributed to some of that also. So it's a whole myriad of things coming together at one time. It's kind of a train wreck at times. So to try and encourage people to return to where they've come from, to try and reunite them with family members so that they have a place to go. And because this is not, I still don't understand, again, how desirable it is to live behind the Bayshore Mall in the pouring rain. It just doesn't quite gel with me.
Well, yeah. there's a whole bunch, certainly, that's at work there. But do you think that there's a, well, acceptance is almost a passive.
Mm-hmm.
Coddling?
Well, you know,
is that getting too far out? Because yeah, somewhere in there is a reason that these folks are feeling comfortable in our area rather than those that are more rural, those that are warmer, those that have family, those that don't. I mean, there's a reason that they're here more than we're at the far end of the state.
You bring up a good point. I was in a meeting down in Southern Humboldt, down in Garville, probably about 5-6 years ago. It was a group for the chamber that were meeting regarding this homeless issue, and they were talking about it. I was giving my views on it and what we could and couldn't do. And one of the business owners down there stood up and he said, "You know, you go to these camps, you go to these where the sheriff is pulling all this trash out, or where these other groups are going in to clean them up." And he says, "All the stuff that we find there, all the trash, comes from our businesses. we're selling this stuff to them. They're taking it out, utilizing it, using it, and leaving it. So the trash and the problems that are coming out of that, we're contributing to that. And I thought that was a pretty astute observation. Now, I'm not saying you can't sell things to people and that's illegal. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a correlation there that segment of society is doing commerce in the very towns that we're talking about having homeless problems in.
Now, Andy was in Monday, and he shared a couple of things. I think it was off mic about some businesses in certain areas being targeted and being taken advantage of. Is there some of that that needs to occur also? Are the businesses starting to pay attention so that they aren't being taken advantage of?
Well, I'm sure.
Or is that being raised even in the discussions?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, taken advantage of, you mean they're...
Being stolen by...
Oh, I see. Yeah, that happens, of course.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're at the Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, the little public meeting that you guys had last week talking about things, I find it interesting, but I suppose it's human nature, that nobody cares about anything until it impacts them. Zoning ordinances, a great one. Traffic delays, another one.
Right.
Okay, this law about you can only hold somebody for so many hours before you have to turn them loose.
Well, yeah.
Okay, it probably was not a significant issue for many people, but then when it becomes a high profile, mm-hmm. everybody wonders,
right?
How long has this law been in effect?
Well, it's not necessarily a law. What's going on is these people that are being brought in for purely a detention period for disorderly conduct under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you know, every jail, every county jail within the state of California has a policy regarding that. So if you got 58 counties, you have 58 policies. And, you know, we've reviewed the policies of many of the other counties, and we all pretty much mirror each other as to length of time of release, that type of thing. So you get into an issue, especially with someone that's drunk in public. You know, the theory or the idea is that they're brought into custody for their protection because they're unable to care for themselves. They're under the influence.
So it's their protection, not community protection.
Well, it can be both. You know, for their protection of the community. But what happens is most people after being free of alcohol for 2 to 3 hours are fairly sober by that time. Obviously, if they're under the influence of drugs or something else, it can last even longer. So how, if they're not being charged with a crime, and if we book 3,700 to 4,000 people under those conditions every year, you can see what would happen very quickly. So the officer asked for detention only, not to have them charged with a crime. Then they're subject to release. They have constitutional rights, and that has to do with the fact that once they've met that threshold of being able to care for themselves, no longer under the influence, how do you legally hang on to them when they are able to care for themselves? There are some counties that do, but what we found, the counties that wait till daylight, their jails are out in the middle of nowhere, out where there's no services at all available. It makes sense for their protection not to release them.
What is defined as influence? Under the influence.
Well,
I've read some stuff that says mm-hmm. if you have a marijuana cigarette, you have that chemical in your system for mm-hmm. days.
Yes.
Okay.
That's so fast soluble drug.
Now, is that under the influence?
No, it's objective signs the officer uses when he contacts them. You know, it's typical for under the influence of alcohol, slurred speech, unsteady gait, watery red eyes, unable to perform certain function tests. You know,
can't hit the cup.
Yeah, can't hit the cup. Yeah, so FSTs, that type of thing. So those if they can't, you know, conform to that or complete those tests, then we deem them to be under the influence. Many times.
Okay, then conversely, when are they not under the influence?
When they're brought into the facility, they are seated in an area where they're under constant observation of our correctional staff. Correctional staff then, as the time progresses, continues to monitor their actions and their reaction to different stimuli, at which point the same type of test, so to speak, is being given that during that 4 hours as they slowly recover from their inebriated state.
And those tests are just observation,
functionality tests. Can they say their name? Do they know where they're at?
So there's personal interaction.
Personal interaction the whole time. And then when they're subject to release, you know, we've just recently devised a questionnaire that they have to sign, where we offer them, you know, alternatives, cab, someone come pick you up. Do you want to sit in our waiting room until daylight? We offer all these things to them. Most people, they want to leave. When they're no longer deemed to be under the influence and where we can legally hold on to them, if we hold on longer than that, we get into illegal detention, which we don't want to get into that situation.
These have been in existence prior to this year?
Correct. We've had these, a lot of these policies change. Policies are always being updated. We're doing through some policy changes as we speak today. So policies do change. We try to stay as current as we can with changing times, so to speak. So but the foundation of these policies pretty much stays the same and have been in effect for quite some time. And again, you know, Humboldt County has operated a correctional facility as long as it's been a county. So we have thousands upon thousands of inmates have gone through our facilities over the years, and this is a reoccurring thing for us. This is not something that happens once in a while.
So the reaction has been obviously focused because of Father Freed's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that hadn't happened, let's say this wingnut just went screaming at the moon on down the street and made it home somehow, would you be looking at this policy anyway?
Well, I think what I said earlier was the fact that, you know, the things change and we have to stay current. So to say that we never do policy review unless something monumental happens would be wrong. But to say that we do policy review as the times change, we do that. Our policies are often rewritten. In fact, our correctional staff captain signed a new policy today where it changed some wording on this very issue. So, you know, we do try to stay current and update as we go, just to stay, you know, relevant.
So is that the changes that came into place, is it in reaction to the community response? Is it better policing? Is it a combination of both?
Well, some of the things that we've just completed here recently were things that were already being reviewed and looked into. Were they somewhat accelerated? Possibly. I mean, I was at the meeting. Obviously, I listened to what the community said. I got their frustration. I got what they were saying. I also relayed to the community that we have issues that need to be dealt with too. And I think one of the last speakers put it very well when he said, "Let's make sure we don't give up too much of our constitutional rights in trying to make some sense out of some of the tragedies that have happened in the past." We still are a free country. We need to be careful about that.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, the concept of legalization of marijuana, is it something that, your perspective, I know they got pulled off the ballot yesterday, but there are a couple of petitions that are roaring around the state that are talking about it. If it was legalized, and let's say it's Colorado, Washington legalized, what's the impact for our region?
Well, I think there's always going to be a black market. I think there's always going to be a black market for marijuana because...
Well, we have moonshine.
Yeah, exactly. Stronger, better, that type of thing. But I think if legalization came about, there'd have to be some regulatory schemes that are derived. The state would have to ramp up for that and... taxing of it. There's going to be some guidelines as to the potency and how it is grown and where it is grown.
Like wine.
Kind of. Sure. Okay. I think that would happen. It would probably take some time to implement. I think that you would find the price would drop. Because it's not that quiet. Underground economy anymore that it has been. I think you're going to find that land prices around here might even drop.
Oh, I think certainly the indoor grows would kind of disappear. Do you have housing stock all of a sudden?
Right. So I think those things would happen. It's hard to say. Washington and Colorado are different than California. Each state is different as they go. We still have we talked about this off the air earlier. We still have the federal issue. What will the feds do? They've kind of been hands off on Colorado and Washington. Would they do the same with California? California is a much bigger state, more prolific state. What would they do here? Would it be different? Would they take a different approach? They've taken a different approach here than other states when it comes to medicinal marijuana. So I don't know. I think that Humboldt County would probably vote against it, as they have in the past.
It goes under the heading of strange bedfellows, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
The conservatives and the pot growers, I think, together would be, yeah.
Right.
It would be interesting. Would it, do you think, alleviate or lift some of the load that your staff is having now and so you could concentrate in other areas?
Oh, I think it would. I think there would be some direct reduction of time that we spend on it just in the eradication mode. We wouldn't be quite as robust in that area, so to speak, as we are now. We would see a decline in the number of grows we have out there today.
Well, we'll find out how November plays.
There
Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.
Take your Speedos.
All right, I'm taking them.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. So then go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.